When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
Buried within the histories of West Virginia is the story of Elva Zona Heaster Shue, a woman who was found dead in late January of 1897. Not an unusual occurrence by itself, but weeks later her mother would claim to receive a message from her dearly departed daughter that her death was anything but natural. What followed was one woman's quest for justice with specific knowledge gained from an apparition that led to the trial and conviction of the person who was truly responsible for her untimely death. A singular event within the legal realm where testimony from a ghost was put on the stand and taken as evidence. This case file joined the theorists as they take the country roads back to the place of avenging Appalachian apparitions in The Greenbrier Ghost.
Welcome to Alien Theorist Theorizing Case File 243, The Greenbrier Ghost. I'm Braden.
I'm Zell.
I'm Dan.
And I'm Andrew.
And we're back.
We're back just like every
Friday.
We don't miss.
Why would we go anywhere?
We don't miss. I'll tell you right now, I haven't had like an unusual amount of seltzers, but they just hit me pretty good today.
Are we
back on the ECA stack or what?
Oh, I wish.
Do we have a case file 31?
33? No.
33.
Probably not.
Meat drug brain here?
I don't think so.
I mean, we just started, so.
So that's why your face is so red.
Got an hour and a half to do it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's just the sodium I ate all weekend is finally like, I'm getting to that age where if you eat more salt, my arteries just stop.
Do you have like a salt? Do you have a salt lick?
Yeah.
It's coming out your pores.
You guys don't?
Just with every food, bite of food, lick of the salt lick?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's getting pretty low.
It's more efficient that way. You don't got to sprinkle it.
You don't got to sprinkle it.
Electrolytes, right?
It's good for you.
Yeah. Sodium.
It's been a while, I feel like, since we've done a spooky case file.
I mean, it's not...
What? No. We just did one.
When did we do a spooky one?
We did it with the Ron Pond fan pick. Was Aoki Gahara Forest.
Yeah, it's not depressing. That was more depressing. It was sad. Yeah.
There was no ghost detectives in it, all right? This one's chalked full of it. There's no ghost justice. I didn't see any ghost justice.
Yeah.
It was all about it. It wasn't ghost justice.
No ghost justice was served.
Coming this fall, the A&E Ghost Justice.
Ghost Justice.
Fuck yeah. It's playing right after Cajun Justice.
Right
after
Cajun
Justice. Got to create our own network.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They could bring in a Ouija board. They're like, what did he like? We'll try to bring him back. I like it. We could get that like the same thing they do on CSI, like wow, the sunglasses every time we talk to the ghost.
That would be cool.
Well, before we get in, I'm kind of disappointed nobody's commented on my background. Like nobody's sending.
I was actually trying not to comment on purpose.
Yeah. Oh, so is that
the James
on,
Webb?
Hold on. Is that the first images of the James from the James Webb?
It is. Oh, wow. I thought look that was just that paparazzis thing. Behind you.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I thought you had a piece of black paper over your window that you just poked a bunch of holes through.
I thought you were going for the Danny Stardust look here.
Yeah.
Nope. It is the first high resolution reveal. It was like revealed today at 5 p.m.
It's like a live stream.
First. Yeah. Fucking President of the United States, try this little baby out. Said this is the fucking picture of the universe. Highest resolution picture, infrared picture of the universe.
Did he sniff it as he showed it?
That is a pretty cool piece of a little space news there, though.
I feel like that's cool. What he saw when he fell off his bike. I just
that's great.
All the stuff that I was kind of going through the night before, everybody's like, yeah, the president's showing it because they're showing aliens. And I mean, you know what? Maybe somewhere
in all these
specks of light.
In all those galaxies.
Somewhere.
There's an alien in there.
Maybe. Absolutely.
And honestly, just wait, because like the shit we are going to get from the James Webb is going to be just mind boggling. How insane it's going to be.
They're going to zoom in the wrong spot of space, and there's going to be an alien mothership headed towards Earth. Detailed in high-res infrared.
Yeah, and infrared. If it's like shooting up,
it's pure energy.
Infrared light.
And pure just energy. An alien, just a picture of an alien like this. Looking back through the porthole.
Picking up a pastry out of the garbage can. You guys saw that?
No, I was just braiding.
But yeah, if you didn't see it today or while you're listening to this, be sure to go check it out. It's pretty badass.
Right. A free download on the James Webb Space Telescope website. They got a 4K image.
Yeah, it's 800 terabytes. Melts your computer. That's what shut down the Rogers internet the other day. They were trying to upload this.
That was all that.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little spooky justice. Is
that what you're talking about? Spooky justice. The other thing about this case is very few times do we actually deal with a case that's in West Virginia, Mountain Mama, take me home, country roads.
Yep, wild in West Virginia in 1897, I suppose. Like, fuck it. We were just talking about it before, and we just talked about how crazy the 1890s were. They're fucking crazy. Shit's fucking popping off then, at least in the United States. I don't know about Canada, but...
were you spending time there?
This is like the Wild West.
Were you there in the States in the 1890s, bud?
I don't want to be incriminated with anything.
All right, that's fair.
He pleads the fifth.
That's fair.
Nothing.
So a local woman by the name of Elva Zona Heisterschuh, hyphenated, was found dead on January 23rd, 1897. Now, according to the Monroe Watchman, which was a local newspaper at the time, her body was discovered at about 11 a.m. By a young boy who they usually asked her and her husband usually would ask to run errands for them. And he had actually been sent to the house by the husband, who is known as Edward, but had the real, or a.k.a. Erasmus Stribling Shoe.
Wait, is this guy from a fucking Harry Potter book? Did you say that name again?
It does sound like
Erasmus Stribling
Shoe. Wingardium Leviosa.
Yeah. Erasmus Stribling Shoe, Hufflepuff.
I don't know where you get Edward from that, though. It's like, he's like, he preferred Edward. He went by Edward. And I don't know where you
Erasmus
get
Erasmus to Edward.
Well, I mean, come on. What are his other choices are Erasmussen and fucking Trout. So yeah, yeah. I'll fucking.
Yes, that was one of his other nicknames. He was known as Trout.
Honestly, the worst nickname of all time. Trout.
Guy's small because he's slippery.
Yeah. I don't know. If you look at his picture, kind of a catch.
By the end of this fucking story, you're going to want to throw it back, though.
Yeah. By researching for this case file, I had this picture in my head. I hadn't seen any photos of any of the people involved. And like, I had this picture of Erasmus Stribling Trout and kind of the stuff, the description of him. And you'll get this feeling that you're like, oh, this guy's a total scumbag. He probably looks like some crazy West Virginia mountain man.
Well, his nickname's Trout.
Yeah. It's like, and I don't know. If you look at it, I think he kind of looks like Josh Hartnett.
Well, with the nickname Trout, like I would think the opposite. If I was going with just like, hey, this guy's name's Trout, I'm picturing couple googly eyes.
Looking either side.
As soon as I heard that fucking name, I thought like fucking children's birthday party magician. Like,
what?
Our children's birthday party musician? Or
no, magician.
Magicians are they named
Rasmussen?
After?
That sounds like sounds like he's illusionist. The next Job.
Illusionist?
Yeah. For illusionists.
Torturing bunnies in his car.
Yeah. A few dead doves in his pocket.
Didn't make it.
So unfortunately for this young boy who was dispatched by Edward, the body of his wife was found laying out, stretched out. The description of her, the position of the body is that she was laying perfectly straight with her feet together, one hand lying by the side and the other lying across her body, and the head was slightly inclined to one side. And she was found at the bottom of the stairs leading to the second floor of the log house where they both lived.
Now, Dan, this was a relatively new marriage, right? Like they'd only been together for about 3 months before she was found dead, right?
This is correct.
And before that, like from what I understand, Mr. fucking, our boy Trody over here, he was a little bit of a drifter.
Old fish boy.
Right? Just slipping around, flopping around from town to town. All right.
From stream to stream.
Yeah. and he made his way to Greenbrier. Why do you say that?
Greenbrier.
And he made his way to Greenbrier and took up like a blacksmith apprenticeship or something like that. And that's where they met. But like this guy was new to this town. Nobody really knew him, right?
Nope.
Yep. Like he was a little bit, like they considered him a bit of a drifter, a handsome drifter by the name of Trout.
Yeah.
But so you look at, it's important to the story.
Who's that new hunk in town? I don't know. He goes by Trout.
Such a weird name. I have no idea why they call. I couldn't really find like why they could. Was there explanation as to why?
I didn't
they
find one.
Because he's slippery, boys, for sure. He's a slippery bastard. He didn't. Hey, when he came to
that's
Green.
That's good.
When he came to fucking, I forgot, Greenbrier. What's it again?
Greenbrier.
When he came to fucking Greenbrier, he was telling people his name was Edward, not Trout. Right? That's a slippery thing to do. He's a slippery bastard.
Yeah, you could say that.
All right.
So the boy, after finding Miss Heaster's shoe dead, he went to go tell his mother about the body, and then he went to go tell Trout. Now,
Trout reacted like this. Oh my God, what?
I can't believe it.
Shocked Captain Kirk. And and so he went right back to that. He went straight from his blacksmith shop where he was apprenticing straight back home. And then later after that, I think it was about an hour later, Dr. George W. Knapp was called in.
George Knapp
was there?
He's that old?
Timeless, baby.
Yeah, he was just fresh from Skinwalker Ranch.
He fell through the portal in 2033. Yeah. And this is where he ends up. And he's good enough to be a doctor back then.
Absolutely.
The one thing I wanted to add about this is like, I mean, the one interesting thing that was reported is that Trout, who he was when he was working that day, the boy who he sent, I guess it's like, I mean, it's not uncommon for you. Like, he's like, hey, my wife's sick at home. You know, she's really sick. Do you mind sending your son to go check on her? See if she needs anything. She's really sick. And this woman's like, yeah, sure. I'll get my son to walk over there, check her out. He's like, okay, good. And then 2 minutes later, he's like, so has your son gone by my house yet or what? Is he over there checking on my wife? Because she's sick. She's really sick. And she's like,
so
you literally just asked me. I haven't got a chance to talk to my son yet. Noted.
It's like as soon as I see him,
I will let him know. And then like 5 minutes later, he's like, is your son in here? Has your son been here yet? Have you sent him? Do you know have I mentioned my wife's sick? She might.
How about you put down your fucking hammer, motherfucker, and your apron and go have a look at your own.
She's
wife.
Like, you live across the street, motherfucker.
Yeah. Like, what are you doing, man?
That's what I mean. So why didn't he check on, what was his reasoning on sending someone over?
Yeah.
There?
Fuck shit to hammer, man.
Right. But he was very concerned that his wife is sick. So he wanted this lady to get her child to go in and
she must
and
have been like
on his wife,
really
right?
like deathly sick.
Yeah, but what the fuck is this 10-year? Well, not even. I can't remember how old the kid was. What is this kid like? Pops
it's
in, mid, like, hey, you can't.
It's middle age. That's middle age. 1997.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
Well, I read that actually. Like, he was sent over there. Actually, was part of the reason was also
to do chores.
Well, yeah, collect eggs or something. Like, go yeah, like, and check yeah, the check the chicken coop, grab a couple eggs. But
right, that makes sense. I dig that.
Yeah,
I mean, they had a relationship with the mother and the son. The son was like, they was like an errand, like they would have him run errands, like yeah, yeah, collect.
He
eggs.
He was a slave.
Stuff, it's 1890s. That's slave labor, yeah, child labor.
Yeah,
actually, probably
that's probably was
right. Yeah, no,
just saying.
Now, when Dr. Knapp arrived at the house about an hour later, the body had already been moved. Shu had already arrived at the house. He had apparently already moved the body and put it in one of the
Call
bedrooms.
Him Trout. No one knows who you say when you say Shu. Trout. Sorry, Trout had Trout already come and he moved his wife's body.
So Trout had already come. He'd moved the body, put it in a bed, already pretty much dressed it for burial, ready to go.
Before the doctor got there.
Which is super bizarre too, because back then, like it was part of the tradition that like the women of the neighborhood, because obviously we treat women terribly back then. We have them scrub dead bodies and get them ready for burial.
Yeah.
But like that's what they did. So for the man to do that is super bizarre.
Yeah, it was, right? At least in that town, it was normally considered a tradition for women, you know, women of the community to prepare a body for burial or a woman's body for burial. So this was kind of, yeah.
Super weird.
Yeah, it was unorthodox, like he was for sure.
Potentially like pondering maybe a weekend at Bernie's thing and then decided against it. You know, like,
okay. So it's worth commenting that the dress he had chosen to put on the corpse had a very high, stiff collar. And
yeah, because those are in fashion. 1897, Dan.
And
come
he had
on.
Also, at this point, I believe, well, I noticed at this time, he had already put a scarf around her head. He already had a kind of scarf.
That was for the casket.
All right.
Well, but I will say, though, he did also claim that, you know, about 14 rows of duct tape was pretty fucking proper with a couple stilts taped to the neck, too. Like, that was all the rage back then.
So it's reported that Dr. Knapp attempted, well, pretty much like I think he knew she was dead already. Like there's no way, like the way he looked at the body and she was already pretty much dead. But he did anyways, you know, as his responsibility, attempted some type of resuscitation techniques and then pretty much declared her dead.
Yeah, he probably wiggled her toe.
Yeah, she ain't moving.
But he did say that he did notice kind of right away that there were these slight discolorations on the right side of her neck and on the right cheek. And then but he couldn't get a really good look at the body as Trout was noticeably distressed about the death of his wife.
His wife just died.
His hysteria seemed to amplify. You know, he's standing there fine. He's at her feet looking. And then he like gets to her waist and he's like, gets to her like, you know, chest. He's like, she starts to look. He's like, jumps over her. He's like, distraught. He's like, okay, well,
I really loved her neck.
He's like, listen, okay, I'm trying to do an autopsy here. You're getting fucking snot on her, buddy. Like, I'm trying to work here. Come on, man.
Come on, Trout. You're sliming her.
So when the doctor seen the bruise on her side, did he?
Did you say the bruisey?
The little bruisies. Little bruisies on the side.
The ecchymosis.
Would he, like, did his mind go like, oh, maybe she fell and like hit her face? Or like, would you not go and investigate
1897?
Further?
Listen, this guy, I'm telling you right now, it was about 5 minutes away from lunchtime. Cause he's like, well, this guy's pretty upset. It's pretty sad. So
she's
might as well wrap it up. She's dead. Seems legit. Gotta go.
Nothing to see here.
Yeah. And let's just be real here. I think they threw the term doctor pretty loosely around these times.
Yeah, this guy's probably a barber.
Let's be honest. You could get on your horse, ride two towns over and be like, I'm a doctor. And they'd be like, oh, great. We need one here. Like totally like, dude, it's
absolutely.
It's 1897 is such a crazy time. Cause you just be like, yeah, I'm leaving this name behind and I am now a new person.
Our boy fucking Trout is a perfect example. He showed up this place. I'm Edward all of a sudden.
Yeah. I'm Edward. Call me Trout. Every town he goes to, he has a fish nickname.
Just changes it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was noted that Trout was awfully hesitant to let the doctor examine anywhere near Zona's head, anywhere near her neck. And he was pretty much like, I picture him just like throwing his body over hers and just sobbing, you know.
Well, like, peering over his shoulder through one partially open eye.
splashing a little water on
pretty
his face.
Pretty much body blocking the doctor, just like, every time the doctor's, maybe I could just get a little look over here. But yeah, so, unfortunately the doctor couldn't really get a really great look. So he's left with pretty much giving her a diagnosis, of cause of death as being, I think the diagnosis was like perpetual fainting,
endless fainting,
which was, at the time that was kind of just another way to say heart attack. Like it was just or heart failure.
That was just a working diagnosis though. I think he had
right. So, and then, later he would change his diagnosis after that one to, complications from pregnancy. Well, but the thing is, we weren't really sure whether she was pregnant or not, because nobody had any inkling.
He also didn't say it that nicely. He was like, just women's complications.
Yes.
Lady problems.
The female body was
a mystery back then.
It's a terrible thing. She just died from too much clucking. You know, hands get together, they just be jibbing and jabbing, and she just died of exhaustion from too much clucking.
Absolutely. Now, I think it's quite correct to believe that we could possibly assume that she possibly talked herself into cardiac arrest.
She might have had a bout of the nagging, too much nagging, and died from the stress of it all. Were there cars back then? Because she could have.
No.
They didn't have cars.
We're getting close to the first cars.
Yeah, but not in West Virginia.
Yeah.
Not up there in West Virginia. So now she was moved, like the body was moved. She was put in a casket pretty much. And she was taken to the home of her mother, Mrs. Mary Jane Heaster, which was about 14 miles away on nearby Big Sewell Mountain. And there the body had been dressed for burial in the thing. And when they had an open casket, it was said that during the viewing, Trout always remained at the head of the casket.
He's very devoted to his wife, even when she's dead.
He's sitting there at the head of the bed and people are coming up to give their respects. He's like, yeah, how you doing? Keep it moving, bud. You're fucking spending way too much time.
Hey, take a picture. It lasts longer.
And they're like, reaching out to like caress her face or something. He just like smacks their hand away. And
Well, and then he did a little fucking adjustments himself. He had a couple like towels or something rolled up around her head.
She was wearing a hijab. No one had ever heard one back then, 1887 in West Virginia.
He also made sure that she was buried with her favorite scarf, supposedly, that was tied around her neck.
Really widely tied.
He had placed like a cushion or something, like some sort of like cushion or a towel or something
around her head.
propping her head up, making sure that it was kind of secure. She was buried pretty much after the day after the viewing. She was buried at the cemetery on that hilltop near her mother's home. And normally, nothing probably would have ever come of this thing. Probably wouldn't have been noted. Like her diagnosis was something that was kind of common back then.
Yeah, women's issues.
No, because they didn't have a fucking clue.
Yeah.
Right? Like they got there and she's still alive. Well, we better leech her.
Yeah.
That'll probably fucking work.
Gotta balance those humors, man. Like,
should we sacrifice a goat? Maybe that'll help.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Let's use doctor loosely.
So I guess we're past the point of smoking ashes here. Didn't we talk about that during the New England vampire panic?
Right. So, we're a little bit past that so far.
I wouldn't be surprised if Trout was pushing for it.
Absolutely.
Can we cremate her?
Everyone
happy? He's like, remember all those vampires?
Just in case.
Should we just be safe just this one time?
Just in case.
Yeah, it would have played right into his hands. This is when you enter Zona's mother, Mary J. Heaster, who we mentioned before. Now, Mrs. Heaster had never really liked Trout.
You mean over the whole entire 3 months that she fucking knew him?
Yeah.
Trout. I thought you meant she didn't like fish. I was like, what does this have to do with anything?
And I mean, she understandably she was distraught from the death of her daughter, who was her only daughter of like eight kids. I think she had like seven brothers, and then she was the only daughter. And So that adds some significance to the whole situation. So she decided that she was going to, she said that she prayed every day for weeks.
Well, something weird that brought, like, there's a reason why she claims that she started praying is because apparently they had included this sheet in the casket with Zona. And after they buried her, they took the sheet out because money doesn't grow on fucking trees, right?
Yeah, yeah. Like, hey, that's a good bed sheet.
That's a good sheet. It's got fucking high thread count. We gotta keep that shit. So anyways, she offered it up to fucking Trout. Trout's like, no, thank you. Right? Which kind of makes sense to me, but either way. He said no. She thought that was kind of weird. So she brought it home and decided to wash it. And when she washed it, she put it into the tub and the water in the tub turned blood red and the sheet became dyed pink. And that's what told her that she was murdered.
Right. So there was something, there's definitely a story. And then she had some suspicions that Zona had been murdered. So she prayed on this, as you know, as you're wont to do.
As you do.
Well, I imagine she would think that the sheet, this it turning red like that is some sort of omen. Right? Like that's what, like,
right.
That's
sometimes, where, you know, a sign or something.
Yeah. Like I mean, that. I was trying to think, like, because I was trying to do the math, but I couldn't really get a good timeline of how long it's been since she died, because to see how far along she would be decomposing, to see if there would be any, like, fluid shift or anything like that to cause something like that to stay in the sheets, but.
Not that long. It'd only been a few weeks, I think, now, because when you get
well,
to
a full
it,
few, if it was a few weeks, then absolutely there would have been some fluid shift.
Yeah, because it's only a few weeks since she'd been in there because the. Stuff goes shapes up pretty quick after that.
Did we know what color the sheet was? Because maybe it was like a darker sheet. Oh, was it
white? A white sheet?
It's kind of weird that you would wash it and then get some red stains.
Well, without seeing it on the sheet already, right? Yeah. Like if you would have had a good look at
exactly.
it.
But,
oh, so like, yeah, kind of like an omen. Yeah, I mean, she would have, like anytime, I would imagine anytime you lose a child under like mysterious circumstances, your mind's going to race, be like, well, there's no way she died like that. And like,
well, she's young.
Yeah, she's like young.
You're a young child.
You're going to be like trying to connect the dots. You already have a bad taste of her husband. Like you don't
guy's name's fucking Trout.
You can't trust a guy named Trout.
Nobody wants their daughter ended up with a guy named Trout.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest.
Come on. So she's already got this like little inkling. She's like, nah, something's not right with the death of my child.
Zell, one day, let's fast forward at fucking 16 years. And you got Trout knocking on your door to take your daughter on a date. You're gonna fucking bad boys that little bastard.
Come on in,
chitty chitty bang bang, motherfucker.
Come on in, like, come on in. Yeah. She's in the basement.
Yeah, come down here. Absolutely.
Yeah. It must be nice to be a vampire to commit murder because you can just like what's life in prison to you, right?
Fucking. A weekend.
You just turn to a bat and you just
fly away.
He flies out the bars.
Yeah. I mean, you probably like it there. Not a lot of sun.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
Solitary confinement's my personal favorite.
All the food you can eat too. It's all confined. They can't run anywhere. It's perfect.
Yeah. Ooh, perfect. A new bunkmate.
So Heaster preyed on her daughter's death for weeks until she said that her prayers were answered. And at this point, Heaster claimed that her daughter's ghost, her spirit, returned to her on four separate occasions over 4 days and slowly revealed to her the actual cause of her death. Being murder.
Yeah, if we haven't already hinted at it yet.
Something suspicious happened to her daughter and her ghost through dreams.
So with this,
it's weird though. It's weird though because like over the 4 days, to me, like when I heard this, it's like this story, but she doesn't get all the information.
So because she's got to wait for the different zonas. You got the Zona of Christmas past, the Zona of Christmas future, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. See, I kind of thought it was like, you know, this, you know, we hear about spirits who leave with unfinished business, you know, they linger and stuff. And it's like, to me, it was like she had figured out a way to communicate, but she just couldn't because, you know, from the mother's accounts, like, you know, she wouldn't really talk. Right, wouldn't really respond. And then she only would talk about things involving her death, but only bits and pieces at a time. So it was almost like she couldn't get that information across. And it took 4 days to get all the information to her mother.
It took her spinning her fucking head completely around to get the point across that her neck was broken.
Yeah.
Literally the whole time. That.
Day one, she's like, "Mom, my neck was broken." She's like, "What, dear? What was that? What's what? A neck? What's a neck?
Pardon?
Huh? I have to talk in my good ear."
That seems like a perfect time to grab a beer, and we'll be right back with...
What was that, Sal? What was that? Was it a beer break? Is that what you're saying? Can't hear you. You gotta speak louder. Just speak up.
I'm looking for a sign that we should grab a beer. Please.
Oh, how?
Please,
what?
Anything.
A what?
A beer. I'd like to grab a beer,
what
please.
Now? I can't.
All right, we'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Your Honor, we the jury find the defendant Sweet Tango Apples guilty on all counts of being the crispiest, sweetest, zestiest, most delicious tasting apple you can buy.
Order! Order in this courtroom! Bailiff, come back here. Where are you going?
I'm going with them. I want some Sweet Tango Apples too.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at sweettango.com.
What do you say about your neck?
So now with the information that she has been given to her from her daughter's ghost or a vision or a dream or whatever you want to call it.
And the information that she now has was that she was strangled to death, her windpipe was crushed, and her neck was broken. And she shows her this.
You're missing the biggest fucking thing here, though. You're missing the reason. She didn't serve him meat for dinner.
Right? Oh.
I mean, Trout hates fucking vegetables, boys.
Yeah. Well, here, let me say, honestly, that's, I mean, if I was a mother, I wouldn't be bringing that up in court because that's probably going to get an acquittal.
Fucking.
Especially in 1897, like, no meat on the table?
I'll tell you what.
Wait, so how do we know that was the reason?
Because she told her.
She told, that's one of
her,
that's
fucking, she, her forest ghost.
Oh, like told her. In the dreams or however she was communicating?
Yeah. She told her, "I didn't serve meat for dinner, so he beat me. He strangled me.
Shit.
He crushed my windpipe, and then he broke my neck." And that's when, on the fourth day, she turns her head right around to show, like,
full Beetlejuice.
My neck is broken.
180 degrees.
Which is, this is a weird, like, honestly, it's a weird chain of events, because now the mom, you know, who's obviously distraught that her daughter dies, hates Trout, is having these visions. Her daughter's told her this in dreams. She's now bringing this up to people. Being like, "My daughter was murdered."
Right.
And a ghost told me.
She takes this knowledge to along and travels to Lewisburg with her brother-in-law, Johnson Heaster, to visit the prosecutor there, John A. Preston, who it's said that at first he believed she disbelieved her story. As
you would.
Kind of lawyer, at as that you would, point. A lawyer, like, you're a lawyer, kind of be like, "Okay, I'm sorry. What? You're
you
telling me
seen
that
a ghost?" And she said,
"A ghost? Not a ghost. Not a ghost.
My
a
daughter."
Vision, right? And daughter. It's like, "My daughter came back and told me." Okay, so it
I honestly
put that on.
Because there's some official accounts where, like, he gets swayed. I don't believe that for a second. I don't believe the prosecutor was ever swayed. What I think happened was that the mom was telling him all this ghost shit, and he's like, "All right, well, no, like, obviously, like, it's women's issues. That's, you know, they obviously did an autopsy and stuff." He's like, "You know, I this is all information I can find out easily for you. I'll look into it. Sure, you seem upset. Yeah. I will look into official cause of death." So he, like, goes in the other room and he makes a phone call, and he's like, hey, Nappy boy, what's going on? It's the prosecutor.
Yeah, how did that autopsy go? Well,
yeah. Wait, he's like, really, "Well, the husband was pretty distraught, so I just wrote woman's issues." And he's like, "Say what? Can you repeat that?" And he's like,
"You did
what? I didn't actually do the autopsy." He's like, "What? It says here you did an autopsy." And he's like, "Well, I kind of looked at the feet, and as I got closer to the head, the husband became distraught.
I looked at the feet. They weren't broken, so that's okay." Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, the husband had mentioned that, you know, she had a lot of woman issues. You know, we all know that women's,
yeah, it's woman issues.
Yeah.
She might have been pregnant. We don't know. Like, would the baby come out of her fucking throat? Like, yeah. This doesn't make any fucking sense.
So, Preston, with the information that he gets from, well, I think he gathered enough circumstantial evidence. I think he might have dismissed the claims.
No. I would say this. I would say based on the mother saying this, regardless you believe in the ghost or not, the prosecutor calls to try to quell the mom's worries, being like, let me talk to the doctor. He's a good man. I'm sure he did an autopsy. And then when he finds out, he's like, oh shit, he didn't do an autopsy. He's like, well, you're saying this is sketchy and like this. The husband was acting weird around the head. The doctor's confirming this. We got it.
That's what I mean. Like, there's no way she came there with just the ghost evidence.
No,
she probably presented a bunch of other shit too.
Well, she probably told him like what happened, because he's like, you know, she comes into his office. He doesn't know who the fuck she is. Yeah. So it's like, who are you?
She starts running her mouth and he's like, sounds like woman issue runs in the family.
Fuck. She probably
this is 1897. These aren't my views.
All the kind of shady stuff that went down, you know, probably remarked a lot on Trout's behavior. And just from that alone, probably, and minus the ghost story, Preston thought there was enough circumstantial evidence to go ahead and get an order for an exhumation of the body of Zona. And he kind of figured this as a win-win, because if you exhume the body, you know, it either comes up and like everything is what the doctor said it was,
women's
or
issues.
It's going to show some, or they're going to do an autopsy and they're going to figure out something out with something.
I think it's just,
happened to Zona.
I just think it's you, she ran into the right person who is like, these things, no, we have to do these things right and by the book. We can't be, it's 1897.
Or
people.
This guy's like,
we
can't be letting ghosts. Yeah. Is it ghosts? You said fucking ghosts?
You said a ghost?
I'm in.
He's like,
100%.
How many nights?
Yeah.
How many
nights? What?
Four?
Are you serious?
Oh, shit. Let me get up.
Absolutely.
We're exhuming the body.
Yeah, we have to.
We
have the number of Ghostbusters?
Yeah.
Let's fucking do this.
I'm pretty sure Heaster at some point, like she assured Preston that she would go on the stand and tell her story. And I'm pretty sure that he told her, I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to go up there. And he was hoping that she never did have to take the stand.
Well, they can't handle the truth, Dan.
Yeah.
But he wasn't really, he wasn't super supportive of her taking, becoming like a state's witness. And if there was to be a trial at the thing. So a few days later, the exhumation took place. Yeah. And Shu was very vehemently objecting to the actual exhumation of the body. He tried everything within his power to get them to stop from digging up that.
He laid on top.
No.
The same thing he did.
Yeah, and it was made pretty clear to him that if he didn't let them do it, if he didn't allow them to do it, he would be forced to do it. Like they would force him to.
They were like, "We're gonna make you dig it."
They said that, you know, there and no, you know, minced words. They didn't mince words, and they told him that he would be arrested if they would, you know, if they wouldn't let him take the body. And
it was reported
that he, after they made this clear, it was reported that he said something along the lines, but they will not be able to prove that I did it.
Okay. Just under the blue.
Something innocent people say, right?
Blurted it out.
Yeah, they were like,
did what?
Huh? Did what cause women's issues?
Nothing.
At the autopsy, it was Knapp and two other doctors who had the body laid out in the town's one room schoolhouse.
And that little boy was there too.
The boy was there too,
as if he hasn't seen enough shit.
And they brought him in it. So to kind of, you know, set the scene, you have at least the three doctors in there, the boy, and then what was said that Shu was actually present, and reportedly they had him sit in a corner of the house, sit in a corner on top of a hay bale. And at least it said that he was sitting there pretty much whittling wood for the time.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, gather around, please. Welcome to the official autopsy of Mrs. Shun. All right, we are lucky enough that the children are actually on recess, so we've got about 15 minutes while I drink the juice boxes and play dodgeball.
Just so you know, it doesn't matter what you find. You can't prove it was me. Just saying.
All right, Mr. Shu, we haven't even fucking started yet. Just relax, okay?
Oh, I'm just saying, I don't know. Huh? What?
So, as we thought here, Mr. Shu's neck has obviously been broken. The windpipe mashed like potatoes. Yes,
if
that's
the glove
a medical
doesn't
term.
Fit, you must have quit. I'm just saying.
Again, Mr. Shu, we're in the middle of this, please. On the throat, you can clearly see marks where the fingers indicated a choke.
I don't even have fingers. How would I do that? How would I have done any of that? You can't prove it.
I can see your fingers right now. You're making a fist. The neck was dislocated between the first and second vertebrae.
He's making the words up. Were torn I don't even and know ruptured. What that is. If I don't know what it is, couldn't have done it.
All right, that's fair. Anyways, it is actually 12 o'clock, so everybody has to get together now. Everybody get together and hold hands, because this is the official time that everyone in Virginia gets together and sings the Virginian anthem.
West Virginia.
Almost heaven, West Virginia.
Blue Ridge Mountains. Shenandoah.
Shale Con River.
Shenandoah.
No, it's the Shale Con River.
Gets older, older than the trees. Younger than the mountains.
Glowing like the breeze.
Country in 1890s,
West Virginia might as well be the...
Take me home.
That world.
Do the
bliss. I belong. You're under arrest, good sir.
Oh man, get all Scorsese, right? Like Layla, the piano solo is playing from Layla, but instead it's fucking Country Roads as he's getting arrested.
Yeah.
Oh man, that'd be good.
So with the findings that the doctors made while during the autopsy, they found 100%. It seemed, at least, like it was pretty clear that she had been strangled.
It corroborated the mom's story. Like what the mom said had happened is exactly what happened.
She described the injuries perfectly.
Broken neck.
She named the right vertebrae where she was where they were fractured.
So the ghost had a good knowledge of the human anatomy?
Absolutely. And the fact that like the areas in the house where there was blood stains and shit like that, she was able to describe. Like,
yeah, they remarked on Heister said that she had received like descriptions of certain area locations on the property and inside the house, which she had never been to before. She had actually never been to the house where Zona and Trout lived together. But with the descriptions that she gave to the investigators, they said that it was kind of spooky that it was pretty accurate as to.
It was also spooky that she claimed a ghost gave her those directions.
Yeah, it's also boys, spooky. This is fuck ghost justice, man.
Ghost justice.
It's ghost justice.
So with this new evidence in play, trial was scheduled to get underway June 23rd, 1897.
Yeah, I think that back then they put Trout on one end of a seesaw and a chicken on the other. And if it balanced out, he was guilty. Anything else, he was innocent.
Or a witch. One of the two.
I think that's how justice was served back then.
If they drowned, they're a witch.
So during these proceedings, you got a more accurate picture of who Trout was. Now, we've already told you that he was a bit of a drifter. He pretty much just appeared in town one day, took up the blacksmith apprenticeship. Still a little bit of a shady character, but he was just a handsome drifter type at the time. But it came out during the trial that Shu had actually had two previous marriages. The first one had ended in divorce while he was actually in jail for horse stealing.
Oh, so he's and not then, an honorable guy. That's what you're saying.
It gets worse.
Doesn't seem like that way.
Stealing horses is the least of the shitty things he did.
Yeah.
True. Also during this trial, it was found out later, or at least like during the trial, that his first wife, who he had a daughter with, she said that Trout was during their marriage extremely violent with her and abusive. And it got to such a point during their marriage that it got so bad that he beat her up so bad one time that a mob came to their house in the middle of the night and pulled pulled Shu out of bed and tossed him into an icy lake near their property.
This is how much of a piece of shit this guy is. That's the first mob that goes after him.
He's got multiple mobs.
First mob. Yeah. We have to be,
this guy's got more mobs going after him than fucking Frankenstein's monster.
So that one, again, he got put on trial. He got convicted of horse thievery and he got put in jail. And during that time, he had gotten divorced with that first wife, got an order of divorce. The second marriage that he had.
The second one's great. The second one is phenomenal because she died due to mysterious death and mysterious causes. And alleged story was that Trout was up on the roof and he was fixing their old brick chimney. Right, he's fixing it away, and his second wife comes underneath, and you know he slips. You know, as you do working on a brick chimney, the brick falls. You know, does the crazy tumble, shoots off the roof about 15 feet, and then lands on his second wife's head, and she dies of woman's trouble.
She was conveniently gardening underneath the chimney at the time.
Yeah, and then to just die of womanly complications out of the blue like this is crazy.
She was trying to tell him how to do the job, and she died.
I'm literally like, this guy... this guy's like direct descendants. His direct fucking great grandson is fucking Michael Peterson. Yeah. Seriously. Absolutely. I've never fucking, how does he get away with all this shit?
The brick one is they just didn't have enough evidence at the time. They were we had our suspicions that he may have done it on purpose, but we just couldn't prove it.
And I think at that time also, the second marriage, they were living with his parents at the time. And I think they may have helped cover it up.
Were
that
they? Time. I'd imagine they probably weren't pulling fingerprints at that time.
I don't think.
Because that guy, was it just before Mark Twain
technology?
Well, no, because I remember it was it got popularized after a Mark Twain.
Were they taking book. Fingerprints? Andrew, we just talked about a fucking doctor who didn't even do an autopsy and just checked the box. He looked at the feet and he's like, whatever, she died.
Oh, wait.
She dead. She gone.
Were they lifting fingerprints?
I mean,
and 1911 is when they started lifting fucking fingerprints.
Right. Yeah. I mean, but to even give you a better picture, it came out during the trial, for his second marriage that we talked about, the one who had died under mysterious circumstances, when they had gotten married, it was told by a traveling reverend, which were called back then, they were called circuit riders, and named R.R. Really? Little.
That's a they were cool called, name.
And they're called circuit riders.
Union rider.
And he came forward with a story about how Shu's second marriage kind of came about. And he said that he was sought out originally to officiate for the marriage during one afternoon. Shu and his spouse at the time, or, you know, prospective spouse, never showed up. And then until midnight, he showed, Shu came and got him out of bed at midnight to come out and do the wedding, to officiate for the wedding. And when he showed him the marriage license that he had obtained, the reverend
is the wrong county.
Pointed out to him and said, this is the wrong county. This is the next county over. I can't do this. And so in response, Trout go ahead and says, well, it's a lovely moonlit night outside.
Start
so
why fucking don't we just walking.
Hike? Just walk.
Why don't we just hike a mile over the county line to get it done?
And they did.
And he agreed. The reverend agreed. So the reverend agrees to go with him. They go over to the next county over. He starts the ceremony. He gets to the part where objections are to be had. And there's nobody really there to speak
for
the bride.
Does anybody object to this marriage?
And the reverend says, I do. He says, I do, because on the reasons that she is a child is what
she's 15. She has no family present.
Nope.
At all. It's just her.
You're obviously a fucking scumbag. Your name's Trout, right? This is a mistake.
Yeah. You know what, though?
Anyone
honestly,
named after a freshwater fish is a fucking scumbag.
Here's my thing. How dare he? Because during this trial, he doesn't say hey, Trout made, I was forced to do this. He at all times sounded like a willing participant. And then he fucking has the audacity to protest the wedding. Could you imagine getting married for a second? You're getting married, right? And you're sitting there with all your friends and family, or no one, maybe you just eloped, right? And you're getting married, and then the pastor or the whoever, the justice of the
circuit fucking guy, what's the traveling circuit,
the circuit rider goes,
no, that's it.
And does anyone have any objections? Speak now, forever hold your peace. After a brief moment of silence, he goes, no one? Well, then I do. And you know, you're like, she's like, huh? What?
You know what happened is he probably got paid first.
Oh, yeah.
Right? He took the cash. He walked to the line.
I'm pretty sure they didn't actually get married on this account. They actually ended up going to get married somewhere else after, because the guy wouldn't do it. Yeah.
The next day, they got a different dude.
Why do the walk?
It was, they got a different guy to do it in that county. And they got another clergyman to do it where
the
license had been obtained.
The Lord works in mysterious ways, boys.
He really wanted to get it done that night because they had to be married. She wasn't going to give it up. And he really, wanted it.
All right.
That's what happened.
Now. That makes sense.
That's what happened. Yeah. And then people say she's 15, which is very young. But this time.
37.
Dude, at this time. Girls are getting married at 13.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's
fucking so crazy. That's a girl in grade 8 getting married and having kids with, how old was this guy this time? Like a grown man.
He's probably 42.
No.
I think he was in his 20s.
he was whatever it is, I think, when he married Zona.
If the guy wasn't 17 and she, like 2 years older or something, it's super, like nowadays, it's super weird.
Nowadays, it's illegal.
It's illegal.
Yeah. Nowadays, it's illegal. Weird.
I mean, illegal.
Because
18's an adult. There's probably some places where if you have consent under 18 from your parents, it can still happen. But
in West Virginia, it's 16.
16?
16?
I looked it up.
What was that? What was that? The piece of shit actor from Green Mile? He turned out to be a piece of shit in real life. Remember?
Yeah,
and he married that 16-year-old and got her parents' permission to marry her. I don't remember this, but she was also a piece of shit. But
it was just a bunch of pieces of shit getting together.
Everyone, all around. Yeah.
Wild times.
Doug Hutchinson.
Yes.
Yeah, he was a piece of shit in that movie and in real life.
Yes.
Yeah, it's perfect.
That marriage, like we said, only lasted 8 months until she died under mysterious circumstances.
Yeah, brick to the face.
Brick to the face, yeah.
I think that's one of them. I think
women complications.
There were like four rumors going around about how she died. I think, I'm not sure which one was the actual true one. I know I've heard the Rock one, but I think there might've been other ones that they had talked about that had happened. But anyways, during the actual trial, Mary Heaster ended up on the stand. And I think
just to add to, it was also brought up during the trial that Trout had been saying to people, I want to be married 7 times.
Right. When he was in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was said that.
Doesn't really bode well.
Doesn't that make sense? Lucky number 7?
Yeah.
Lucky number 7.
7 wives.
Yeah. doesn't everybody want that?
Did he mean like 7 wives at the same time?
No, he said he was going to be married to have 7 marriages. Like that's kind of what he said. So he's going to be married 7 times or 7 wives. That's what he was saying in prison. So that did not.
Sounds like a fucking
nightmare.
That did not
lend his character, put his character in a shining light.
It's a hell lot of alimony. No thanks.
Yeah. Tell ya.
So when Mary Heaster got up on the stand, she was questioned by the defense, and the defense, I think they were actually kind of happy that she got up there because they knew about the visions she had had, and they were pretty sure that they could flip this. Like they saw this as an opportunity more than anything else to be able to.
It didn't hurt that anytime she would bring up the ghost talk to her, Trout would yell, "That's not how it happened. Didn't happen like that.
Ghosts aren't real."
Here's the quote that they had, like, was written down. There was like some reports that came out in one of the local newspapers, and some people had written down what had actually happened. So the question from the defense came out like, "I have heard that you have had some dream or vision which led to this post-mortem examination." And Heaster answered with, "They saw enough themselves without me telling them it was no dream. She came back and told me that she was that he was mad that she didn't have no meat cooked for supper, but she said she had plenty and said that she had butter and apple butter, apples, and named over two or three kinds of jellies, pears and cherries and raspberry jelly. And
jelly
she says
for dinner?
No. And then she kind of goes on. And then eventually at the end, you know, she says, well, I saw the place just exactly as she told me. And I saw blood right there where she told me. And she told me something about that meat every night she came, just as she did the first night. She came four times and four nights. But the second night, she told me that her neck was squeezed off at the first joint. And it was as she told me. So that was what she said. So, the defense went at her for a good amount of time, trying to get her to slip up, to try to get her to either change her story, you know, trying to get her to admit that these were dreams and not visions, as there was a distinction between the two, as the visions being something that could be sent by God and you know, therefore kind of inscrutable, and then or being a dream, which is therefore not really admissible in.
Yeah.
In the court, fucking I suppose, dead. You know, could kind of turn the, I mean, this was a trial by jury. So it's like, yeah. you had the jury.
Well, and I guess it's really religious there. Back then. So if you're saying it's a message from God, everyone's like, oh,
that makes sense.
Ooh, ooh.
So well, there is that bit.
I do declare that I'm leaning towards this story.
And the judge never ordered that her testimony be ignored. He never had it struck in for the record. He never asked the jury to disregard her testimony, you know, as something that it couldn't be admitted.
Well, Dan, would you risk the wrath of God?
No, God, no.
You know, I suppose not. So, so the jury heard this and they, you know, she was pretty convincing in her statements, being that she saw her daughter come back to her in the flesh and blood, or not so flesh and blood, but and tell her these things, and that these things came true, what she told her. So now, following this, this testimony the next day, you know, it was a tough act to follow. So who are you going to put up there? You're going to put Shu himself.
Put him up.
Good old Trout Boy.
The old slippery fish himself.
And according to them, he went on just, he did not do a very good job up on the stand. He went up there to pretty much try and make the case for himself, and then ended up going into what is said to be incredible detail regarding things of no consequence, and then tried to actually appeal to the jury by pretty much telling them, asking them to look into his face and judge him guilty.
Do I look like a liar?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
He was banking on his good looks.
And I guess he didn't do a really good job, because the jury apparently took almost like less than an hour.
Yeah.
To come back and convict Shu of murder.
They went out to lunch, had a quick bite. They all looked at each other and went, guilty? They're like, yep.
Ghost justice.
They probably didn't even talk about it for like the whole hour.
Yeah, they
talked about it.
Had like, a great meal. Like, they didn't have
you got
to.
5 minutes in. They're like, you're guilty? Guilty.
Guilty.
And then they just like,
you got the head juror. The head juror's like, listen, boys, like, I know it's fucked. Sounds crazy. But do you want to run the risk of getting paranormally activated for the rest of your fucking lives?
Yeah.
If we don't convict this fucking guy, then we have to.
I don't want to get haunted.
Guilty. Everybody. Unanimous. Done.
There was kind of debate on whether they should have him hanged or sentence him to prison. So what they ended up was sentencing him to life in prison for murder in the first degree. And as he was being held, it said that while he was being held to be sent to like a state penitentiary, mob number two came after him. There was a lynch mob that was formed that came to, do what lynch mobs do. And he did not. They managed to, I think the sheriff at the time, like managed to talk them down. And
they went and hit him in the woods while they went and talked down the mob, apparently.
And but he was eventually transferred to a state penitentiary where he ended up dying soon after in 1905, I believe, after an epidemic had pretty much tore through the prison.
An epidemic of fucking ghost justice.
Of ghost
justice. That guy got paranormally activated and murdered, for sure, by a ghost.
Apparently the prison that I can't remember the name of the prison that he was sent to, but apparently that prison is also haunted. So,
well, I'm sure all prisons are haunted from back then.
Is this fucking crazy?
It's
like, what are our options here?
They say it's one of the only times where
it is
ghost
the only
testimony.
Time.
Yeah. Ghost testimony. Convicted a man to life in prison.
There's a road marker for this specific case. There is a historical road marker out there in Greenbrier.
It's like not really, I mean, it's not technically a ghost testimony because they didn't get the ghost on the stand, but she testified through the mother who brought the information and was like, this ghost told me this and it all checks out. That's where the blood was, blah, blah, blah. This is how her neck is broken.
We do not get to this outcome
without the ghost
visions.
Yep.
And this ghost speaking to the mom in visions.
Yeah. I mean, he was convicted and what they said was all circumstantial evidence, but he was convicted.
Well, I mean, it doesn't help his case that during the autopsy, he yelled, you can't prove it was me.
Yeah.
Right. I'm like, that doesn't bode well for you.
Well, yeah. I'd say there's a lot of shady shit on his history too, with his other two wives. History of violence, mysterious, you know, like that type of shit. But like in my brain, it's like literally we have three options. We got a fucking serious, like an actual paranormal activity. You know, they got paranormally activated and the story's true. The second option is Zora and her mom were fucking Jedis and her force ghost came back and told her the whole story.
Mm. Yeah, possible.
Or three, Brayden.
West Virginia is known for Jedis.
What is this third option? Think about it. What is the third option in this situation?
The mother was involved in the murder.
The mother did it.
Right? Or, yeah.
Well, how else would she have all this intimate information?
I've been thinking about this all day. Me and Andrew talked earlier and I said, we were trying to look at it from a different way of like, okay, well, you know, like this is crazy that they got this guy convicted on this testimony. I'm like, what would be the flip side? Well, the flip side would be that didn't happen, but then she knew the exact details of the murder. How would she know the exact details of a severed spine and, you know, like the choking and where the blood was located, if she was there and she was involved and she did it, right? It was said that, Zona?
Yeah, Zona's.
Right? She had a child out of wedlock, was back then was a little bit of a disgrace to the community.
More than a little bit.
Right? And then maybe perhaps by all accounts, no one wanted to marry this troke guy and this grifter who just rolled into town. So maybe this was just a slight that her mother could not handle. Perhaps Trout's innocent in all this and it was the mother all along.
Perhaps the mother and Trout had an affair. Mm. And they conspired against, and there was only one way to get Zone out of the picture, but then the mom ended up framing fucking Trout.
The other thing that I was thinking of this later this afternoon after we had talked about this theory.
Come on, we got to get crazier.
Was that Trout maybe in like, you know, the mother didn't like him and maybe she confronted him, right? Maybe she confronted him and he told her, he's like, listen, you keep pushing this. I'm going to fucking snap your neck like I did your daughter and I'm going to choke the life out of you just like I did to her. Right? No one's going to believe
the guy's
you.
Got an obsession with ghosts.
Yeah. No. Well, no.
They're not going to believe a woman, but they'll believe a ghost.
Yeah. Well, exactly. Dude. But honestly, that's the thing. She's saying she's like, she had a vision of this ghost, a vision, right? From God, this ghostly presence that told her all these things. But maybe it was that Trout told her in like a fit of rage of being like, I'll do the same to you if you don't shut the fuck up. You don't shut up?
Yeah. I mean, we've seen it before.
I would say that she didn't make the statements about the first Dan, vertebrae Dan, until during the trial.
Dan, unless you're trying to tie in aliens, I don't want to hear it.
I'm just saying.
Let's go.
That,
yeah, I wanted to get crazier.
I mean,
aliens?
Yeah.
It's body snatchers?
But the thing is, the only way, because if you're trying to eliminate ghosts of this story, you're like, ghosts are the prevalent theme of this story. If you eliminate ghosts, you have a fucking insane murder conspiracy here. Like either way, this story and case is insane because like the alternatives of the mother knowing exactly what happened either places her at the scene,
and no, like shows like she would obviously know where the blood is, which means she was directly involved and potentially like pointed the finger at an accomplice or an innocent man, right? Those are the alternatives we're looking at here. If you're going to say no to ghosts.
I mean, throughout time, since we've been having these legal systems, organized law, we've only had one ghost.
What about?
We've only had one ghost situation.
One that was taken as evidence.
I mean,
I'm sure there's other people who came into court and were like, "Fucking ghost told me this.
The ghost made me kill him. We made some pottery together.
That was the whole Amityville thing, though.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
That was like the whole Amityville case. Was the guy telling that the ghost made him do it?
Satan,
but it didn't stick.
I'm just saying. It was just like it was in court. Like ghosts aren't unused. Ghosts are in court all the time.
If the ghost spins its head in a 360, you must acquit. It's a rule. Yeah, I've heard that. It says it.
You know, I've heard the other thing that I was kind of looking at was in my head was humming and hawing with the idea that perhaps Zona Heaster, and this is pure speculation. Zona, like by all accounts, the evidence, if I'm looking at the evidence of this case and I gather information, if I was a betting man, I would put all my chips on it happened the exact way it happened. Trout did this. It does seem to add up. It does seem to fit. And I'm looking for...
Well, his history alone speaks for that.
Yeah. So it's like, so now I'm looking at this and trying to be like, okay, was there other alternatives so I can eliminate the ghost of this? The other kind of one that I was playing with in my head was perhaps Zona Heaster Shoe's father was upset. Like this is the only daughter. So I couldn't imagine.
She was a single mom.
Boom.
Boom. Ghost confirmed.
Mom wasn't in the picture. Ghosts, man.
Yeah. It's.
How do you disprove it?
Right, like maybe it's one of those things where it's like you have maybe it's a twofold, right? Like because we always say that like a ghost with unfinished business or someone who dies in a traumatic event, like they linger. But maybe it's twofold. Maybe someone in like that much distress and trauma, like the mother having lost her daughter, like maybe those two things together kind of bridges that connection between, you know, the next dimension or the next world, wherever you pass through, right? And that's how they were able to communicate was this like this. Like unbelievable grief, and
maybe she was in tune already. Maybe the veil was already thin.
Maybe, right? And it's like maybe that's what happened in this case. But like when you look at it, it does seem this case doesn't get solved without
the ghost.
Zona Heaster Shoe's mother
ghost justice
having those visions.
It's all ghost justice.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe it's one of those things. Like maybe not necessarily. It was even a ghost. Maybe the mom was this. She was so distraught that she went in tune with the universe. She seen through like those like burned in records, and she actually just witnessed a vision.
The murder.
She tapped into
the Akashic records.
She's seen that timeline. She's seen to the past because for whatever reason. I'm just like if you're trying to say like, oh, there's no such thing as ghosts or there's no way she could have found it out. Like, well, she either knew it happened or she found out it happened through this alternate means.
Like some remote viewing shit, right? Like something. It's like she transported her in a dream state, like so focused on what happened to her daughter, knowing that this couldn't have been, you know, the official narrative couldn't have been what happened. She was so into that and so focused that in a dream state, she traveled to that time and witnessed, right? And got to interact with her daughter's ghost, essentially, right? It's an interesting theory. Like we know conscious thought does something. We know it does, right? Like if you put enough double slit experiment, it's proven. And you know, like who there's some miss. You know, Dan's laughing, but hey,
Dan laughs at everything.
We don't know. We don't understand. We don't really understand why, right? We don't understand the why of that.
We got a very small grasp on. On reality, sometimes
we got thick veils over here, boys.
Yeah, thick veils, baby.
Yeah, it's cool though, super cool. I mean, not very cool for obviously.
She got justice though.
She got justice.
We got ghost justice. I'm happy,
right? Like she obviously got what she needed to to rest easy after that. So
I'm glad this story. It's sad what happened to her, but it ends on a good note. I hope that guy rotted in jail for 3 years.
It's true.
Yeah, he rotted there and he died of what? He died of like tuberculosis or something, right?
Probably, yeah, tuberculosis. Yeah,
he died of ghost justice.
Yeah.
She came back, poisoned the whole fucking jail of tuberculosis.
She fucking went right up his beehole and poisoned him and he died.
Yeah.
Ghost justice.
Yeah, and then that's what it was, right? Their whole, like, it was some type of outbreak in the prison and everyone died.
Hey, Zell, where were you in 1900?
I don't infect people with tuberculosis, okay?
You weren't serving
don't
up
drop the soap.
You weren't serving up some ghost justice, were you? Vampire style.
Vampires and ghosts don't get along. Vampires are alive. Fucking ghosts.
They're undead,
but we're still in this reality. We don't have to try and like phase in and out.
Here's an interesting reason because for a long time I never thought Zell was actually a vampire because I've been in front of mirrors with Zell. And I've seen Zell's reflection. So I was like, oh, it's just a funny
joke. That's a myth.
That's an old
myth.
No. Mirrors back in the day were actually made with silver. And that's why they said vampires couldn't be seen in those mirrors. We don't use that practice anymore. So vampires today, with today's mirrors, would see the reflection. So my friend, you got some work to do to disprove you're not a vampire. I'm just saying.
No, I think you have work to do.
You'll outlive me. Got a theorite of the week?
I think this guy's been posting on our live stream videos on Patreon because we do take long breaks sometimes.
He's been doing the Lord's work.
He's been doing the Lord's work, you would say. And he's been marking in every video in the comments, time in, break time, end break time. So because we're lazy and we don't go back and edit the videos after the live stream, this guy has done the work for you. So if you want to skip those 5 to 10 minute beer breaks, he tells you exactly where they are.
Yeah.
And all the and it seems like in every video or almost every video.
Yeah, I was clicking back and I would see his comments. I was like, oh shit. And there and there and there. I was like, he's been doing this for a while, which means he watches the whole thing. And then for our other Patreon supporters who like to watch the live stream, he then posts a link so you can quick skip the beer breaks.
He'll put like a timestamp of the end of the beer break. You click on it, it just fast forwards the video for you. Legend, an absolute legend. Like, it's awesome.
Yeah.
So Cam, is it Ether or Ethereum? How do you say it?
Ethier?
Maybe it's a silent Ether. R.
Cam Ether.
We're going with Cam Ether. It's fitting for the episode. You are this week's theorite of the week. Keep doing that Lord's work.
We should go Cam Ether. You just made theory of the week.
The click of the pen.
Yeah. And guys, if you don't know, if you're watching, this is released. If you're listening to this on the public, you're still listening this far. This is July 22nd, which means you only have just over a week to get on our merch store and buy this month's versions of merch. And Before we lied and we said stuff was exclusive and stuff, but it was too hard to pull down, so we would just leave everything up. We have people working on our store now. And all these designs, Pickle Baby. You want Pickle Baby? Pickle Baby's about to be gone. Octa-Jesus, about to be gone. Dan style snapback hat with the white logo, about to be gone. Keep those eyes on the skies, 5-panel, about to be gone. They're not coming back. All right. They're going to be in the vault. Who knows when the vault will open again. So this might be your only chance this year, next year to get these items. If you're waiting on them, I can't emphasize enough. Get them now. And your collectible stickers. If you want those, if you want a Pickle Baby sticker, Octa-Jesus sticker, best of both worlds, get them now because they will never come back after this month.
Never, never. So
never.
The store is easy accessible, alientheorist.com, or you can search on crowdmade.com, search for Alien Theorist Theorizing. You can't miss it. We've only had it for a few weeks, and it is by far my favorite merch store we've ever had.
Oh, man, the guys, if you're a podcaster, listen to this, or you do your own merch for something, you've been on TeePublic or Teespring or whatever, message the guys at Crowdmade. Listen, we're not getting paid to do this. They're so good to work with. Any issues, they get back to you right away. They've been so helpful with everything for us. So it's been really good.
A little smaller company, a little more customer service, I would say.
And it shows. Yeah. And send us the pics. We've only received a couple picks of merch. Please, if you've got some merch, send it to us. We want to see it. We're in Canada, so my merch is on the way. And as soon as I get it, I'll be wearing it on the show. But it's on its way.
Braden only wears ATT merch.
I do. That
got,
and this.
He's got like 20 shirts.
It's all he owns.
And the George Costanza. timeless act of seduction shirt he wears all the time.
Yeah.
All right. And if you like the show and you want to support your boys, support your favorite podcast, you know what to do. Go to alientheorist.com, click the support link, or search us Alien Theorists Theorizing on Patreon. Early access, ad-free, bonus content, the Discord. Woo. We say it every week. The greatest way to help support your boys. This week's month, new supporters.
Or this week's, yeah. We got Gustavo Tapite. I think that's how you say it. Maya Binkney. Come on, baby. It burnt so good.
Nice.
Tom Gregory. Venereal Fish 69. John Ferris. Savannah Hall. Where's the next Conspiracy Hall podcast? We've been waiting. Ethan Cox.
We got Keenan from New Zealand. Cody Debo? Michaela. Is that Michaela? Is that our Michaela that we know?
Well, there's two Michaelas that pledge.
Two Michaelas? Either way.
There's two Michaelas pledge.
Luke Dennis. Jasmine goes up a pledge. Daniel Clouston. Lady Jaybird. John Wantland. Scott LePage. And those are for you who don't like Patreon. There's another way of support. It's called Supercast. It's all the same links on alientheorist.com. You don't have to download another app to do it. Xander Early and Invalid ID. Love it. Thank you very much for supporting the show.
And as we always say at the end of these things, keep those eyes on the skies.
Your Honor, I'd like to present to the ladies and gentlemen of the jury with Exhibit B, a bag of Sweet Tango apples.
Mmm, boy, these apples are delicious.
And zesty? Mmm, and sweet.
Best I ever tasted.
Your Honor, I object.
Overruled. Court dismissed. We need to recess to the grocery store for some Sweet Tango apples.
You love a great mystery, but not in the produce aisle. Be sure to reach for Sweet Tango, the most delicious tasting apple money can buy. Investigate where you can get yours at SweetTango.com.